longer for you to find it than it takes for me to read it. 1 Samuel 7:12, which says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" Let's pray together. Lord, this is a good example of how you can't just take one verse out of the Word and understand what it's saying. We've got a familiar word, Ebenezer, but most of us have no clue what it means. Help us as we celebrate missions and celebrate this work that's gone on for 25 years to raise our Ebenezer in our lives, in our day, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So many people over the years have opened up their hymnals and sung the great song, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love." And then we get to verse 2. "Here I raise my Ebenezer." What? Because so many people have sung that and have no idea what an Ebenezer is. The only Ebenezer they ever heard of was Ebenezer Scrooge. In that famous story of the Christmas Carol. And have a picture in your mind of raising up Ebenezer. That's not what it's all about. You see, God brought into the world the prophet Samuel, rose him up at a time of trouble for the people of Israel. After the time of Joshua, when the people came into the promised land, these people that God had liberated from slavery in Egypt settled in, and their commission was to live for God by God's commandments, doing things God's way. They were to be a unique people with no king but the Lord. They were to live and worship according to the commandments and the laws that God had given to Moses and Moses had given to them. If they had disputes with one another, and you get a bunch of human beings together, that's going to happen. If they had these disputes with one another, they were to go to appointed judges, wise persons in the community who could settle their differences. And if enemies invaded their land, those same judges were responsible for rallying the people of the communities and raising up an army to go and defend their land. And Samuel was born into a time when everything had gone wrong. The plan had failed, and it wasn't God's fault. The people were far from God. There was no real difference between them and the idol-worshipping nations that surrounded them. As a matter of fact, most of the people of Israel worshipped those idols, those Baals, those Ashtoreths on the side. They were covering all their bases, honoring all the gods, which the one true God had told them never to do. They were lax in their responsibilities as the chosen people. Matthew read the word that came to Abraham about being an example to the peoples of the earth. Isaiah would put it in a way that we're very familiar with in a later time when he said that his people were to be a light to the Gentiles. The purpose of God's chosen people was to show the rest of the world what a relationship with God looked like, what it meant to live under the authority of God. They failed miserably in that. And the judges who should have been helping them and encouraging and leading them along, the judges had become corrupt, not dispensing justice, but rather were predators on the people. And when threat came up, they had bad ideas and bad advice about what to do about it. Samuel was raised by a man named Eli, one of the judges and one of the priests at the tabernacle. And he was a corrupt man, and his two sons were even worse. Enemies were invading and succeeded in their efforts to pillage the territory and take territory away from God's people. But Samuel was God's provision for this situation. You know, whenever something comes up that's the will of God and the plan of God is getting off track, God raises up an answer, raises up a solution. And Samuel was that solution in that day. He was a miracle child who was born to a woman who had been barren for many, many years. And she prayed, "God, if you'll just give me a son, I will dedicate him to you for all of his life." Her name was Hannah. And God heard her prayer and gave her a son. At the age of 3, she took Samuel to the tabernacle and gave him over into Eli's care so that he would always serve the Lord. God then blessed Hannah with more children in the future, but she kept her promise to God as God had answered her prayer. So Samuel was raised in the service of God. He was raised in the precincts of the tabernacle. And from about the age of 12, God spoke to Samuel directly. By the time Samuel becomes fully grown, he is recognized by everyone as a prophet or a spokesman of God. Now, in the meantime, while Samuel's busy growing up, things get even worse for Israel. The Philistines invade, and 3,000 Israelites are killed in the battle. Some of those corrupt judges get the bright idea of carrying the ark with them into battle next time. They remember the stories of Joshua carrying the ark going around Jericho and how God was with the people. They thought that he was with the people because the ark was there. The ark was going to be their ultimate weapon. And so they bring the ark out of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and they bring it up into the army. But it doesn't go so well because, see, this was the judge's idea. It was not God's command. And as a result of trying to force God to fight on their side, it turns out that some bright ideas aren't so bright after all. Have you ever had that happen? You had a great idea and it just didn't work out as planned? Well, in the next battle with the ark present, they lost again, and 30,000 Israelites lost their lives, and the ark was captured by the Philistines. Sometimes it's better not to pursue your good idea. It's better to pursue God's idea. But that's not what the people were doing. The ark stays with the Philistines for 7 months until they return it because they're afraid that God is punishing them with plagues. Every town that the ark is brought to in the Philistine territory, they all get sick and start to die. So the ark is brought back to Beth Shemesh, a border town just inside of the territory of Israel. That name means the house of the sun, and it may imply that the people of Beth Shemesh were, as so many of people in Israel are doing at the time, not only honoring the one God, one true God, but they were also worshiping the sun, perhaps, or giving loyalty to other gods and idols. When the people of the town treat the ark as if it is an idol, God wipes out the entire town. 50,000 plus souls. Things are way off track. Things are way out of kilter. The Israelites are afraid to take the ark back to the tabernacle, which they should never have taken it out of in the first place. And so they hide it away for 20 years. Then God tells Samuel to speak to the people. This is the context of 1 Samuel 7:12. God tells Samuel to speak to the people. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, it says, starting verse 3 of 1 Samuel 7, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Canaanite goddesses from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and then he will deliver you from the hand of your enemies." Return to the Lord, Samuel said. And for the first time in many decades, the people respond in a positive way. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, these false gods and goddesses, and served the Lord only. After all those years, they're finally getting back on track. And Samuel calls them to prayer and worship. He calls them to Mizpah so that he can pray over all of the people. And so they gathered together at Mizpah, and they drew water and poured it out before the Lord as a symbol that they were pouring themselves out before him. They were trusting him only. They fasted that day, and they said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." They confessed their sin, which is such an important thing to do. It's not that God doesn't know about it. It's just he needs to know that you know about it. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now the enemy's here. Oh no. The Israelites are getting their act back together. They may get harder to defeat in the future. We better do something about that. When the Philistines heard the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. What are they going to do? Are they going to meet the challenge, meet the threat in their own strength? Or are they going to meet the challenge, meet the threat in God's strength? Are they going to do it their way, or are they going to do it God's way? This is a 3,000-year-old story, but it's very contemporary today, because the same thing applies in our lives today. Are we going to do it our way, or are we going to do it God's way? Well, here's what they choose to do. When the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Well, I guess so. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." Samuel takes that commission. He offers sacrifice to the Lord. He prays and lifts up and asks for God's protection. And here's what happened. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered out with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and they were so confused that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-kar. And that's another interesting area name there. Beth-kar means the house of the Lamb. Could that be a foreshadowing about God's ultimate plan of what he was going to be doing on down the future? A foreshadowing of Jesus? The bottom line is that after decades of disobedience and going their own way, the children of Israel, the people of that chosen people of God, decided to start to do it God's way again. They listened to the spokesman of God, Samuel. And Samuel wanted them to remember what they had done so that maybe, just maybe, they'd keep on doing it. It's then that Samuel raises the Ebenezer, a standing stone. Something that ancient people did all over the world when they were commemorating something. My forefathers and foremothers, the Celts, are big on standing stones. But the word Ebenezer is two Hebrew words. Eben means stone. Ezer means help. So it's the stone of help. Raised up this stone so that the people, whenever they went by, would see this stone, see the Ebenezer, and remember how it is that God helps us. He helps us within the context of his will for our lives. The stone of help. Raise the Ebenezer. And as the stone is raised, he says these words, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." Thus far, the Lord has helped us. You've been doing it right now for a little while. And look at the results. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. How will we go on from here? The implied question, will we keep on doing things God's way, so that he can continue to bless us? As I look at the many, many, many ways that God has blessed our fellowship, I believe with all my heart He has blessed us as we have done our best to do it His way. These mission teams that have gone out, coming up on 25 years now, are part of doing it God's way. Each time we do this, we raise our Ebenezer. We are saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. As we've been faithful to missions, as we've been faithful to one another, as we've had open arms to anyone who comes our way seeking the Lord. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Where are we going to go from here? As we celebrate this new group of folks who are going out to minister to people in Florida who believe they've been forgotten. When's the last time you saw an article in a paper or a news story on TV about the victims of Hurricane Michael? And yet they are still out there struggling, especially those with limited incomes and limited ability to do things for themselves. As we begin to do this again, we're making another step forward in doing it God's way. As a matter of fact, I'd like to ask right now if everyone on this new mission team will please come up to the front here. There is a Ebenezer stone for each of you. If you would take it and then just stay lined up right across the front here, face the congregation.